Okay.
Thank you.
Jane Barkey and Natalie Mandelblatt are interviewing Dr. Solomon Abrams on May 19th, 1976. Oral History 2, Project National Council of Jewish Women. All right, would you first give us your full name, Dr. Abrams?
Yes, my first name is Solomon. I have no middle name. And my last name is Abrams, A-B-R-A-M-S.
And when were you born?
I was born August 16th, 1913, in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. And would you give us your parents' names?
Yes. My father was Israel Aaron Abrams.
Okay.
And my mother's name was Bessie Sachs Abrams.
Do you know the years of their birth?
My father was born either in 1882 or 1883. The records are unclear. My mother was born probably in the year 1888.
And where were they born?
My father was born in a little town near Vilna called Eishishuk. That's spelled E-I-S-H-I-S-H-A-K. He came over to America probably in the year 1900 or 1899. My mother was born in a town, the name which I do not know, but she was born in Russia. And she came over to Baltimore at the age of two. Would take us probably around 1890-1891.
And what year were they married?
They were married in 1911, June 24th, 1911.
Did your grandparents emigrate with them?
Undoubtedly, on my mother's side, my grandparents did emigrate with them. However, my grandfather, I am told, first came to America, came to Boston. Then he went back to Russia, and he sent over the family, and he came over later. How much later, I don't know.
You don't know why he went
back?
Yes,
I do know why he went back. He was an Orthodox Jew, and he felt, according to my father, that America was not a good place to preserve Orthodox traditions. Life was too free, so he went back.
But he did?
He did come back later, yes.
Do you know if his opinions changed, or?
I haven't any idea. He died a relatively young man at the age of 58, and he's buried in Boston, and I've never seen him, although I bear his name.
And, your father was in his teens when he came here.
He must have been a young lad of 17 when he came here. He came to America. I came to Boston, I assume through Montreal, and then down. Because he once mentioned to me that he had lived a very short time in Montreal.
Do you know anything about his youth here?
Yes. I can tell you a little bit first about his youth in Eishishuk. When he came over to America, he had a tremendous amount of Jewish knowledge. At a very early age, he entered an all-day school, yeshiva. And probably at the age of 7 or 8, he had probably mastered much of the Bible. As he tells me, or he told me, that somewhere around that age he began to study Talmud. And whether he actually had rabbinical ordination, I don't know. He never really said to me. But I do know that he was a Hebrew scholar by the time he came to America. In Boston, he entered Boston Latin High School and probably graduated in 2 years. And then he went on to New York City. I don't know the specific purpose other than perhaps going to college. And he went to the City College of New York. And at the same time, he went to the Jewish Theological Seminary. Now, I don't think that he ever graduated from the seminary. He probably made up his mind that he did not want to be a rabbi. So back to Boston he went.
Were any of his brothers and sisters also in this country?
Oh, yes. The whole family came over. His brother, Meyer, who later became a rather well-known lawyer in Chicago. And three sisters, there was another brother whom I saw but once in my life. So there were two brothers and three sisters, and they all came to America, yes.
And in your mother's family, did she have brothers and sisters also?
My mother had two sisters and one brother. One sister and a brother were born in this country. Yes.
And your parents were married in Baltimore?
They were married in Baltimore.
And how long before they came to Pittsburgh?
They lived together as man and wife for 5 years in Baltimore. They came to Pittsburgh in the summer of 1960. Now, you might want to know about my mother.
Of course.
She was a rather unusual, remarkable person. She went to a public school in Baltimore that taught all of its subjects in German. The reason being that Baltimore was a port town and had many ships coming from Germany, so that she studied social studies, arithmetic, in German, and of course became very fluent. At a rather early age, somewhere around 12 or 13, the young girl, she caught the eye of Dr. Samson Benderly. Dr. Samson Benderly was a physician from Israel who had migrated to the States and who had decided to make his life work Jewish education. And he opened a model Hebrew school in Baltimore. He was very selective as to the kids he took in. And apparently he thought highly of my mother because she was one of the students that he chose. Another student later became Rabbi Barnett Brickner's wife. Rabbi Brickner was later became the rather famous rabbi of the Euclid Avenue Temple in Cleveland. Was really one of the great Reform rabbis of this country. And so her name was Rebecca, and I remember her quite well. A few years later, Dr. Benderly gathered together some of the young girls who were in his school and formed a teacher's training group out of them. Now, this must have been somewhere around the age of 14 or 15, and there must have been 8 or 10 of them. Now, apparently there was a young man in that group named Ben Rosen, because my mother mentioned his name. And these people were trained by Dr. Benderly and became Jewish teachers. Ben Rosen later became the first executive director of the American Association for Jewish Education when it was formed. And so my father was a Jewish educator, and he was brought to Baltimore to head the Baltimore Talmud Torah. At that time, I'm told it had 1,300 students, probably the second largest Jewish school in America. He was just a young man. He must have been 27 years old. And my mother was a teacher in another school. And so that's how they met. And we're engaged after 2 weeks sometimes.
Oh, that's exciting. Do you have, before we go on with your father's career, do you have brothers and sisters?
I have but one brother who lives in Philadelphia.
And what is his name?
His name is Ellis Abrams. You want to know about him? Briefly.
All right.
Ellis is a chemist, and he heads the research lab for F.G. Houghton and Company, H-O-U-G-H-T-O-N, which manufactures chemicals in Philadelphia. He has a doctorate from the University of Pittsburgh in chemistry, has a number of patents to his credit, is active at the KI Reform Temple in the Philadelphia area. Actually, he lives about 30 miles away from Philadelphia and works in the Valley Forge area. He is married, and he and his wife, Bernice, have two children, a son, Elliot, and a daughter, Cindy. Elliot is a meteorologist, and you may hear him over WWSW AccuWeather, Elliot Abrams.
Yes, I have.
And he's a partner in the with Joel Myers, a junior partner in the weather concern in AccuWeather. Cindy, who's probably 26, lives in Hartford and works for Arthur Anderson and Company and has been just rising up the ladder, you know, as an accountant. And that's the family.
That's wonderful. What was your home-like life? I'm sure it was religious. Can you describe any of it?
Our home life? It was observant. It was observant. In some ways it was traditional, in other ways it was untraditional. It was a very warm life. At a young age, my parents used to talk Hebrew to me at home. Not exclusively. There was a great deal of love that was demonstrated. And on the other hand, a great deal of independence was given to me. For example, I could join any group I wanted to, and I did. My companions at an early age were probably mainly non-Jews. And as a matter of fact, I remember I joined a Boy Scout group at an early age that used to meet at the Methodist Church at the corner of Bryn Mawr and Iowa Streets. My parents didn't think anything of it. And our home was always open. There were both Jews, non-Jews. The black kids who went to Madison School, where I went to public school, lived several blocks from us. But blacks and whites came into our home. It was always open.
Where was your home?
We lived on Adelaide Street, which is a part that, which was known then as a part of Shenley Heights, not far from the Heron Hill Reservoir. Very beautiful location, by the way, the highest part of Allegheny County.
That's not far from Shenley High School, is it?
Well, it's not far. It's a long walk down and a long walk back. Before moving there, we lived on Francis Street. I think we moved to Adelaide Street in 1921, but our first home was on Francis Street, which is on the, which is not far from where the Black YMCA is located now. And I remember one of our neighboring families was the Buses family. Mm-hmm. Sid Buses' dad and mother were there, and I remember them very well.
What was your father's... He was a religious educator. Was that his profession?
He was a Hebrew educator, yes. He was the principal of the Hebrew Institute of Pittsburgh.
Oh. Was that his first job when he came to Pittsburgh?
That was his only job when
okay.
he came to Pittsburgh.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yes.
Were there other cultural interests in your home? Were your parents especially interested
yes.
in music?
Yes, my mother was in particular, was interested in music. And I don't think she ever missed an event that came, let's say, to Surrey and Mosque in those days, opera or whatnot. I can't say that my father had quite the same interest. He went, I guess, grudgingly. But they did go. They did go, and I remember you say, well, it must have been a very religious home. Well, it wasn't so religious that lights weren't, or so observant that lights weren't turned on Saturday. That was not the case. And every Saturday afternoon, my mother would listen diligently to the opera. She knew them all by heart. Of course, I'm speaking the days of radio.
I remember. You never had lived anywhere but Baltimore and Pittsburgh. But
yes, those are the only two cities. I mentioned independence, and at a rather early age, 12, my parents sent me to camp in Maine by myself. And for whatever reason, they never visited me. I didn't resent it. It was a long distance.
They probably couldn't get there.
Yeah. I went there for 3 summers. I must have enjoyed it.
Do you remember the name of the camp?
Oh, of course. Camp Moden. Camp Moden, located of all places in Canaan, Maine. And this was, however you want to describe it, an elite camp. It attracted to it some of the children of very well-known Jewish families in the United States and Canada. I remember I had a buddy. His name was Sam Reshevsky, who later became world chess champion. He was a protege of Julius Rosenwald, who was the owner at the time of Sears Roebuck. Apparently adopted by him. Then there was Eliezer Lipsky. We used to call him Liz. Liz was the son of Louis Lipsky, who was president of the Zionist Organization of America. Liz has come to Pittsburgh on behalf of National Council and other organizations. There was the Bronfman family, the liquor
yes.
family from Montreal. There was the Margaretin family from the Matzah people, Horowitz Margaretin. These are some of the names that I can recall.
Were there other children from Pittsburgh there?
Yes. There were two boys, Levine boys, and if my memory is correct, both of them have gone to Israel. Mrs. Levine was a very well-known person in the city, and I think they came up in the second year. And I'm sure there are others from Pittsburgh.
You had mentioned the school you had gone to. Tell us a little bit about
the elementary school.
Yeah, let's start there.
Oh, all right. Madison School was undoubtedly an integrated school, probably with a population of 65% black, 65% white and 35% black. It was a good school with dedicated teachers. Remember Mrs. Askin, the principal, and Mrs. Black, who was an excellent English teacher who really taught us grammar. there was an arrangement in those days that one reached the seventh grade that he or she had to go to another school for manual training. And the other school was in the black area. It was called in those days Watt, now known as Van. And we really felt what it was like to be a member of a minority within a minority. We were, the school was 95% black and 5% white. And to get to it, we had to walk probably a distance of a mile and a half from Madison School. But it was a great experience.
That was like release time.
This was from once a week, as I remember, on Thursdays for a full afternoon. And it was manual training, wood shop.
Yeah.
It was so Madison was an excellent school. I used to try my hand at sports. I think I ran for the school one period of my life, and I played baseball for the school in another period. I don't think I was ever very good at it, but I later became president of my class.
Were there any problems because of the
racial
problems?
If there were, I don't remember them. We seemed to live in harmony.
Did there seem to be a great economic difference between the white students?
Oh,
and the
I'm sure there was. How great it was, I don't recall. No one had too much money in those days. But there was undoubtedly a difference.
And where did you go for junior high school?
I never went to junior high school. I went for to Madison for 8 grades, and then went into Shenley High School, which was also an integrated school. And I enjoyed the experiences there. I started off very slowly in terms of grades, and must confess that I remember I had difficulty getting good grades that first year. I don't know what occurred, especially, as I recall, in algebra. I couldn't master it. But I eventually landed up with a decent grade and did manage to graduate Shenley with highest honors.
Do you remember any specific teachers there that you were fond of?
Oh, I remember John Vincent O'Connor, who was my homeroom teacher. Used to run a summer camp. And I remember Mr. Dysart, who taught physics, and who was an outstanding teacher. And I remember an Elmer Kenyon, who Kenyon Theater is named after his family, taught English. And I remember Mr. Gross. I played on the tennis team for a year. He was my coach. A few of the teachers I remember.
Before we go on to your higher education, yeah. What type of religious education did you receive?
I entered the Hebrew Institute kindergarten. That's where I spent my kindergarten. And simultaneously with public school education, I attended the Hebrew Institute 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Sunday mornings from 10 to 12, Monday through Thursday from 4 to 6, and this schedule continued all through elementary school and all through high school. When I entered college, the hours were shifted a bit. For 3 years, I went from 6 to 8 o'clock, 10 hours a week. When I graduated, I graduated as a teacher in 1934. So my education at the Hebrew Institute probably started in 1918, and it went right through to 1934.
Tell us a little bit about what it consisted of.
Well, it consisted of learning the language. It consisted of speaking the language, reading the language, writing the language. There was a great deal of emphasis upon Bible. By the time I became Bar Mitzvah, I had gone through the Chumash, the first 5 books of the Bible, twice, and I had already learned Rashi, the commentary of the very great French commentator of the Bible. And I was blessed with some excellent teachers. I had Dr. Samuel Fagan and Dr. Israel Eitan, who had international reputations.
you spell Eitan for us?
E-I-T-A-N. And Rabbi Joseph Kaplan, late Rabbi Joseph Kaplan, the father of Berger Kaplan. These were three outstanding teachers that I had for several years. And so, with Rabbi Kaplan, I studied Mishnah and Gemara, Talmud. And with Dr. Fagan, I studied Hebrew literature and Jewish history. And with Dr. Eitan, I studied the Bible, especially the prophets. And when one studied the prophets with Dr. Eitan, you had the feeling that you began to have some understanding of them. So I now have a very great appreciation of the abilities of these people. You see, we're speaking of the days when these people, these scholars, couldn't get located at the universities that weren't sufficient dollars. And so a town like Pittsburgh could afford to have them.
Where was the Hebrew Institute located?
It's located where the Cape Boys Club is now, at the corner of Wiley Avenue, Green, and DeVillier Street in the Hill District. Still stands, great building. Was sold to the Cape Boys Club in 1944.
And for your higher education?
Well, I went to the... Oh, before we get to that, I should say that I went... among the camps I went to was Camp Ahwa. Camp Ahwa was in Arbor, New York, outside of New York City.
Would you spell that?
A-C-H-V-A-H. Camp Ahwa. I mention that because that was the first Hebrew-speaking camp in America. I believe I was just 16 when I went to that camp. A fellow camper was Sylvia Ilson, Rabbi Ilson's wife. The camp was run by Dr. Samson Benderly, who was my mother's teacher.
Well, most of your summer spent going to camp rather than...
Yes.
Did you work after school at all? Or you didn't have time?
I didn't have the time to work after school, though. That I left to my son later.
Your parents were able to manage...
Oh, yes.
Financially, but
oh, yes.
You had no problems in that respect.
I don't think we had any problems. If they were, they were concealed, probably.
Okay. Okay, back to your college education.
All right. My college education has been spent at the University of Pittsburgh.
27.
You're in the end.
All right, do you want me to tell you about
yes,
it?
Yes, please.
Well, I have 5 degrees at the University of Pittsburgh, all of which are earned. I have a bachelor's, which I received in 1935 with honors, and then I went on to law school, and I graduated law school in 1938.
Okay.
There were 38 or 39 of us that graduated law school out of a class of 115.
Much more attrition.
There was a lot of attrition in those days. I was very lucky to get through the bars. And I entered practice with the late, in the office of the late Frank R.S. Kaplan. That office is now headed by Elliot Finkel, who was our president for 7 years.
What did you study
in college?
For your bachelor's, aside from pre-law?
I don't recall now whether my major was history or political science. Probably I had two majors. I suppose the greatest number of subjects were in political science, history, and economics.
And then after you went and you practiced for
I practiced law
7
for,
years?
Oh, no. For just 2 to 3 years. 3 years, I suppose. And I found that it really wasn't what I wanted to do in life. At the same time, in 1938, when I graduated law school, that's when my wife and I got married in the summer, I became the part-time principal of the Beth Shalom Hebrew School. And I held that position for 6 years until 1942.
You continued with that after you had stopped practicing law?
Yes, that's exactly correct. I undertook that as a full-time position in 1942.